Michigan's primary is next Tuesday. The Great Lakes state has more electoral votes than Iowa and New Hampshire combined, and yet you probably haven't heard much about the race there. Joining me now to explain what really matters to Michiganders is Chris Christoph, Lansing Bureau Chief for the Detroit Free Press, and I'm very pleased to welcome him to this week's States of the Union. Chris, why aren't the Democratic candidates campaigning in the state?
Well, only one of them is on the ballot, actually, and that's Hillary Clinton, and she's not even going to campaign here. And the reason is that Michigan broke the National Democratic Party rules by holding its primary so early, before February 5th. So they're being effectively sanctioned for that. The candidates have pledged not to have their names on the ballot and not campaign here. So what voters are faced with is either voting for Hillary Clinton or they could vote for Dennis Kucinich and Mike Gravel, too. They're on the ballot, as is Bill Richardson, who's just dropped out. But that's their choice, or vote uncommitted. And if they vote uncommitted, what they're doing is opening up some infighting within the party to choose delegates to the national convention that would be uncommitted. But they have to get at least 15%. The candidate uncommitted has to get at least 15% of the vote to get those delegates.
Why did Michigan's Democratic officials decide to go ahead and set their primary on January 15th despite the threats? Is it because of what happened in 2004?
No. There's been a campaign now for years, and it's been led by our U.S. Senator Carl Levin and our National Committee woman Debbie Dingell to break what they say is the stranglehold of Iowa and New Hampshire in setting the tone for the presidential campaign. They have long said that, look, we are giving two small, white, largely rural states way too much say in setting the pattern for the whole primary process. And so they have been leapfrogging, and Florida did this too, as you know. They've been trying to leapfrog ahead of Iowa and New Hampshire, along with some other states, and that's why we ended up with Iowa and New Hampshire as early as we had them. But this is part of what they say is a long-term campaign to try to get the party, the Democratic Party at least, and others, to consider a new format nationally where you have other states leading the way instead of New Hampshire and Iowa. That's why we're in this situation.
Why is Hillary's name on the ballot, not the others?
Well, that's strictly up to the candidates. She chose to have her name on the ballot, although she has also pledged not to actually campaign here. John Edwards and Barack Obama pledged not to have their names on the ballot. And you can't write their names in either because they're not registered as write-in candidates. So if people are being told, if you write them in, that won't count.
Even though the Republican primary has all the major candidates on the ballot, haven't there been repercussions on that side as well?
Yes. The Republican Party is also being sanctioned, or at least they say they're going to be sanctioned, by the National Republican Party, saying you can only have half your delegates. There's 60 delegates. You can only have 30 at the national convention. On the Democratic side, the National Party is telling the state, we're not going to seat your delegates because you broke the rules. Now,
so what does that mean?
Well, it means
Michigan's a major state.
Absolutely, and nobody believes they would actually go through with that because they'd have to do the same thing for Florida because they broke the rules too. And nobody believes that either party is going to not seat two states that are that large and that important to the Electoral College come convention time. So they think it's a hollow threat. And in fact, our Senator Carl Levin said yesterday when they actually seat the delegates from Michigan that he believes that will be the turning point in this campaign to change the rules again so Iowa and New Hampshire aren't always first.
So we're really talking about a game of chicken here. But could Hillary lose to the uncommitted voters?
Well, theoretically she could. There are certainly a number that say if she doesn't get over 50%, that could actually be damaging to her campaign. I mean, she would be considered, in some people's views, a virtual loser if that happens. Others are saying, oh, she has to get at least 60%. I mean, if you're only major candidate with a name on the ballot, coming with the kind of momentum that she should be having, if she doesn't do well, it would be kind of deflating to her to not get certainly at least half of the votes.
Republicans are raising a lot more money in Michigan than the Democrats, even though the Democrats have taken the state in the past four elections. Is that because of this current situation or because the auto industry leans toward the Republicans?
Well, you know, fundraising's hard to determine. I mean, I think they've always been Democrats have always been outspent in one form or another in Michigan, just the deeper pockets within the party, I believe. So I don't know how that's been affected by any turn of events. Certainly, the economy in Michigan is. It's well known that it's among the worst in the country because of the auto industry downturn, and that's going to affect somewhat the outcome of the election. One would think. I mean, the economy becomes a huge, huge issue here. The economy and the war.
And Detroit has certain urban issues that are not present in any of the other early primary states, and to some degree, are unique to Michigan in general.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, Detroit is a poster child for urban problems in many ways, and especially in this economy where people are relatively hurting here. Detroit's been in a decline for some time. There are signs of some resurgence in pockets, but I mean, it's a long-term problem. This is the one thing that the Democrats are really frustrated and even furious about, is we don't have the Democratic candidates here talking about those issues, talking about an urban agenda, talking about the economy in Democratic terms. I mean, some people think that it's a mistake for these candidates to not be here, you know, despite the Democratic Party rules, because they could, in the long term, disaffect some voters. So, hey, you guys weren't here in the primary. You know, whoever becomes the nominee, you know, now in the general election and general campaign, you're here, you know, courting our votes. Where were you when it counted for us? So it remains to be seen how much residual bad feeling there will be among Democrats that they're feeling they're denied their voice in this. There's a lot of people. I mean, after the Iowa win by Barack Obama, there were a lot of Democrats here who were really fired up for Barack Obama. And then they're told, sorry, you can't vote for him on the Michigan ballot Tuesday. And that just really, really perturbed them.
Well, also, the Democrats are missing an opportunity to go after the Republicans on the economy because of Michigan's situation. First of all, let me tell everyone that my guest is Chris Christoph, who's the Lansing Bureau Chief at the Detroit Free Press. We're talking about the issues that are important to Michiganders in the upcoming January 15th primary there. As part of our States of the Union series. And you mentioned the economy in Iraq as two of the big issues. Are there any more that you see as really important in Michigan?
Well, there's always the social issues. I mean, Huckabee seems to be surging a little bit here in Michigan. I mean, this is a social conservative candidate for the moment. And
are evangelicals a big constituency in Michigan?
Not like Iowa. They're a constituency for Republican primary voters, but they're not as dominant a factor as you'll see in other states. A little bit overrepresented because primary voters are a little different than general electorate. But no, the evangelicals are not the kind of influence they were in Iowa and many other southern states, for example.
What are the most important constituencies in Michigan?
Well, it depends on which side. I mean, you're right that Democrats have won presidential elections in the last several cycles here in Michigan.
But not in the Upper Peninsula, which used to be a Democratic stronghold.
Well, it pretty much still is.
President Bush took it.
And there aren't very many people up there either. I mean, if you're looking at the electorate of Michigan, you're not going to find the candidate spending a whole lot of time in the Upper Peninsula. The votes are fairly thin up there.
What about Mitt Romney? His father, George, was a three-term governor of the state, and he grew up in Michigan. Does that mean that he has some built-in support?
He does have some built-in support, and some are saying that if he doesn't win here, this could be a make-or-break time for him because of that. I mean, he does speak to concerns in Michigan, for instance, of the environment, the Great Lakes and the pollution and cleanliness of the Great Lakes. There's this great fear of diversion of water in the Great Lakes from the Midwest to the Southwest. That's always sort of an undercurrent issue here. Well, and Romney speaks to those to those issues, and he can speak to them as a homegrown candidate, if you will. But I think John McCain got a terrific bounce out of New Hampshire. We have not had much polling here. There just came out one overnight, a strategic vision poll that shows McCain, this is 700 Republican primary voters, John McCain is ahead, and he's ahead substantially. It was like 29 to 20% over Mitt Romney, who is just about tied with Mike Huckabee.
Hmm.
So this is becoming a very important place for John McCain, especially, you know, because from here he goes to South Carolina, where it's really important for him to win.
Of course, we know what poll numbers really mean after New Hampshire.
But we really should have learned from that.
How are the Republicans addressing the fact that Michigan has lost about 275,000 manufacturing jobs over the last 7 years, has the highest unemployment rate in the country?
Well, the Republicans talk about, you know, blame the government. It's taxes' fault that this has happened, that we don't have a business-friendly climate, that unions have a stranglehold on the economy and such. The Democrats talk about the effect of national trade policies, foreign currency manipulation, and those kinds of things. And I'm glad you bring that up, because that's another issue that's not getting debated from both sides because of the lack of Democratic candidates here. I mean, that also would be a pretty hot issue here on the stump and in the TV ads and on the campaign trail in these days leading up to this primary, but we're not hearing that because they're not here.
Senator Carl Levin is running for re-election. Does he face any major opposition?
Probably not.
Why does he remain the state's most popular politician?
He has that sort of trustworthy, comfortable shoe feel for people. I mean, there's people who say, well, I don't agree with a lot of them. In fact, maybe I don't agree with most of what he does, but he's an honorable person, and we think he, you know, says what he believes and such. So yeah, to some it's a curious thing, but you know, he's been around a long time, and he's had influence in Congress, certainly since the Democrats took over again. He's had even more influence, and people just seem comfortable with him.
When you say the Democrats took over again, in the 2006 midterm elections, the Democrats took control of the state house for the first time in 12 years.
Right.
But the past legislative session was pretty contentious, wasn't it?
Oh, it was like nothing.
It was a shutdown?
We had a shutdown of state government in the wee hours of September 30th, because leading up to the new fiscal year, October 1st, it was in the middle of the night, and the government effectively just shut down for about 5 hours because they couldn't agree on revenue and a new budget. It was just a ferocious partisan fight that went on here for months. As I said, like nothing that I've ever seen. But there was a convergence of things that caused that. First of all, the economy and the problems with revenue. I mean, they were looking at one point at almost a $2 billion deficit on paper, which is substantial in Michigan.
And substantial everywhere.
That's right. And then they were talking about and did effectively raise taxes. I mean, they created a new business tax. I mean, in any other year, just eliminating your main business tax and creating a whole new one would be a major, major accomplishment. Well, they did that in the summer. Then they come back and they have to talk about raising other taxes. Well, anytime you're talking about raising taxes in a state as contentious as Michigan, you're in for a long, rough ride.
Just one more thing. With rising oil prices, has that had an effect on Michigan that's different from other states because it's an auto industry state?
Absolutely. Oh, of course it has. I mean, one thing people should know is that in the 90s, I mean, the economy was doing very well, not only nationally, but really well in Michigan. And as I've said, it isn't just because we were selling a lot of cars, domestic cars. We were selling a lot of SUVs, a lot of so-called gas guzzlers that now people are shunning because of the cost of gasoline. And absolutely, I mean, the price of gasoline changes the whole dynamic of the automobile market. And it, in some ways, the domestic auto industry has been caught flat-footed, and they're trying to catch up on that. But that's had incredible repercussions. I mean, that's one of the reasons we're in the mess we're in.
Chris Kristof is the Lansing Bureau Chief for the Detroit Free Press. Thank you so much for talking with us today on States of the Union.
Thank you. My pleasure.